Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A man is only someone who's biologically male, and a woman is only someone who's biologically female. Do you agree or disagree?
No.
I disagree because I believe gender is an identity.
We are just animals.
Huh? Right?
And in other animal kingdoms as well, homosexuality or just whatever you want to identify as also exists, so it should be fine here.
You know, like, there is a difference between, like, biological and identification, but, like, that shouldn't, like, change what you call yourself or, like, how you feel about yourself.
Ugh, this is Wretched Radio. That is a snippet from Road Trip to Truth Season 2, tackling a subject that is on the lips of just about everybody these days. Genders, sex, sexuality, new definitions for old words being used as a bit of a shell game to try to manipulate meanings of words in order to concoct a worldview that says, doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, it matters what you think. It doesn't matter what biology says, what matters is what you think. It doesn't matter what science says, it matters what you says. And that is why we tackled the subject of sexuality, sex, because remember, there's a difference now. Sex is what you do. Sexuality is how you identify. From Road Trip to Truth Season 2, which is currently available at wretched.org, just in time for Christmas.
Sex is only for one man and one woman in a marriage only. Agree or disagree?
I disagree, because that's kind of a traditional view
That
is no longer in fashion.
I think, like, an important part about, like, coming to your own identity is coming to your own sexual identity.
Personally, I'm only going to do it during marriage, but it's not my place to tell someone else when they should do it.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how controversial do you think those questions were?
I think those are very controversial. I would probably give that a 9.
Shouldn't be.
Probably like an 8.
How did this type of thinking become so controversial? For centuries, these were the universally accepted norms for gender and sexuality. But in just a few decades, a new sexual ethic has arisen to replace it, the progressive position on sexuality.
Do you think that the LGBTQ movement is on the right side of history or the wrong side of history?
I believe it's absolutely on the right side of history. We will look back and this will be another instance of civil rights.
From what I have seen, I would probably say they're on the right side of history.
I can't imagine it being on the wrong side of history.
Whatever that means.
To understand the contemporary progressive worldview on issues of gender identity and sexual orientation, we need to go back. Back to the beginning. According to the worldview of Darwin, a long time ago, there was a Big Bang. Out of this incredible explosion came life, including human life. This particular branch on the tree of life, through time and random processes, became pink or blue, who developed the ability to reproduce. As an incentive to make more babies, sexual pleasure evolved, and humans got busy populating the planet. And that super brief history of Darwinian origins brings us up to actual recorded history. As best we can tell, about 4,000 years ago, give or take, human sexuality generally agreed that there were two types of humans, pinks and blues. Yes, there was some blurring of those colors, but they were the exception to the pink and blue gender rule. As for sexual activity, virtually every society viewed sex the same way. If it feels good, do it. While heterosexuality was the norm, our world had no moral qualms with different forms of sexual expression. Almost every culture 5,000 years ago accepted virtually every form of human sexual expression, from homosexuality, pedophilia, and even bestiality. Every culture but one, Israel. No, I did not just jump categories from a secular lesson on sexuality to a religious lesson. This is just cold, hard history. Around 1450 BCE, when Moses introduced the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament Bible. That book began to change the world's view on gender and sexual expression. The Old Testament was revolutionary because it actually defined two genders that should express themselves sexually in one way, a man and a woman in a monogamous relationship. Fast forward to the time of Christ. As Christians from Israel took the Bible around the world, the biblical concepts of binary genders, sex, and marriage followed. Soon, the understandings of pinks and blues as the norm for mankind became the moral norm for civilized societies. Again, I'm not preaching. These are just the historical facts. For the last 2,000 years, give or take, Western civilization has overwhelmingly embraced the Judeo-Christian gender and sexual ethic. Until recently. Very recently. The 1960s saw the rise of a sexual revolution, casting off those Judeo-Christian values for a more progressive, free love attitude. On June 28, 1969, the Stonewall Riots in New York City kicked off a homosexual revolution that has successfully persuaded the majority of the West to live and let live. Love is love. Not only can every person express themselves sexually in any form that makes them happy, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, every person can also define their own gender. This almost entirely peaceful revolution has been phenomenally successful in rewriting human sexual mores. And while this peaceful revolution has undeniably been one of the most successful efforts to transform the entire world,
punchline,
it should be noted, these values are not new. They're actually as old as man himself. Nevertheless, even though history teaches us that progressive gender and sexual ethics are not new, we must answer the question, are progressive sexual values on the right side of history?
It seems like we're going back, which would be a regression, not a progression. There is a history of sexuality in the world. It's not thorough. It's not exhaustive. But what was just presented in an animation in Road Trip to Truth Season 2 is a reasonable recollection of how we have actually progressed in this culture. And progression is monogamy with a man and a woman. That progress, while it's been around for a long time, has been deemed the best. And yet today we are told, no, that's the wrong side of history. We're being progressive. No, you're being regressive and you're going back to the wrong side of history. Would like to encourage you, please consider sharing this with your Sunday school class. Please consider sharing this with your youth group. They need to be prepared for the assault that they will experience regarding sexuality when they hit the university.
Who wants to be on the wrong side of history? Does anyone really want to be considered stodgy and out of step with the times? We've already looked at gender and how allowing people to self-determine what they are is actually unscientific. Our road trip to truth is about to get even bumpier because we're going to look at how we use our bodies to have sex. Specifically, we'll look at the progressive contemporary idea of sexual orientation. Buckle up. Could you give me your best definition of sexual orientation?
Another continuum of how people identify themselves based on like who they're attracted to?
I guess sexual orientation is who or what you like.
The identification of someone's sexuality, however they choose it to be.
Could you name some sexual orientations off the top of your head?
Heterosexual.
Homosexual.
Pansexual.
There's bi.
Asexual.
What is the biblical view of sexual orientation?
It's heterosexuality. God created man and woman to be complementary of each other.
Do you think that having many different sexual orientations is good for a society or bad for a society?
I think it can be good because it only improves the acceptance of people who identify however, you know, they want.
It's definitely good going forward.
Psychologically, having more choices gives you the option to freely associate yourself with whatever you want to be.
It's bad for the individual. It's bad for the culture at large. We think that somehow we know better than God knows.
That is Dr. John Street, who participated in Road Trip to Truth Season 2, author of a great book for those who struggle with pornography, Passions of the Heart. Dr. Street has studied the subject. He has certainly counseled enough people who struggle with different sexual issues, and he helped us take a look at history. Where were we, and how did we get to where we are today?
About how we should conduct our lives. You have to assume that he always knows what is best for us, because he created all things. He knows all things. He knows us exhaustively. We think we know ourselves, but we don't.
Pedophilia and bestiality. If love is love, how can we criticize or condemn it?
When you harm other people through your attractions, then I don't think that's love.
Both of those acts would be rape, because the sex is happening without true consent.
How would you respond to the assertion that people make that love is love? And
oh, you're going to have to. Hold on, John. And John, we will get the answer to that question, how we respond to the mantra, thank you, Barack Obama and others, that love is love. Road Trip to Truth, Season 2, available at wretched.org with a study guide. This is Wretched Radio. If and you think there are assaults on biblical truth in the good old U.S. of A., oh, travel overseas. Those assaults do not stay inside of our borders, and that is why Dr. John MacArthur, leading the Master's Academy International mini seminaries all throughout the world in 17 different nations, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word, fill empty pulpits, and defend the truth.
The foundation of all ministry is having a firm grasp of the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. The age of tolerance in which we live has caused guys to soften their message, which means you eliminate certain things in Scripture or you soften the message. Young guys that are coming into the ministry need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Please support that effort through the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. And hey, make sure you don't miss out on the Wretched Christmas Giving Gratitude Not Sales event going on now through the end of the year. It's not a Christmas sale like every other retailer does. No, we're not trying to fool you into spending your money with us. No, we're actually helping you spend less of it and giving you free stuff in the process. Now, through the end of the year, select items in the Wretched store are 50% off. Plus, when you spend $50 or more, you'll receive free shipping and a free copy of Road Trip to Truth Season 1. Because we truly do appreciate all the support you give Wretched all through the year. And this time of year, it's not about receiving, it's about giving. So don't miss the Wretched Christmas Giving Gratitude Not Sales event happening now at the Wretched store at wretched.org/store. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You are a pro-life Christian, which is redundant, who happens to be frugal, which is unnecessary to point out because that's what we Christians are, frugal, and you would like to support a life ministry that stewards your money well. Some great news from Preborn Ministries. They have saved 169,000 babies' lives. What is their secret? Ultrasounds. 80% of the time a woman sees her baby, she chooses life. Right now, Preborn has a matching grant. $28 per ultrasound turns into two ultrasounds. Or for $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds, but because of the match, you'll be saving 10 babies. The ideal time for you to support a life ministry who's going to steward your money well. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, #250 keyword baby, or visit preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the four original doctors of the church.
He defeated Arianism by appealing to Scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Pedophilia and bestiality. If love is love, how can we criticize or condemn it?
When you harm other people through your attractions, then I don't think that's love.
Both of those acts would be rape because the sex is happening without true consent.
How would you respond to the assertion that people make that love is love and can't say anything different?
That is the question. This is Wretched Radio, and this is the answer of Dr. John Street, Road Trip to Truth, Season 2.
Well, usually throw that kind of assertion around in order to justify what they want to do. And usually what they want to do is going to be sin. So they want to identify it as a loving act. And there is a sense in which, from a biblical perspective, that's true. It is loving, but it's not loving of other people. It's loving of self. And that becomes the really core problem with sin. It's this deep love of self.
Besides using the Bible, does the Christian worldview have any other sources of authority to claim that sex should only be between a man and a woman?
From a natural law point of view, male organs were made a certain way, female organs were made a certain way. Anything that goes beyond that is an unnatural thing. It's impossible for a same-sex relationship to reproduce in order to continue the human race.
Why is pedophilia wrong?
It's creepy.
It harms a person, and in that case, it is a child.
Like, that's a minor, and a minor cannot give consent.
Might not always be creepy. If I asked this question here, same campus, 50 years ago, about homosexuality, I bet someone would have said, that's creepy. What if it's not creepy anymore? Would it be acceptable?
So I don't know if that'll ever change, but if it does, I'm open-minded.
Whoa. What if someone said that that's how they were born? That was their identification? That's their orientation? Like, how would you respond to someone who might say that to you?
I would say that they can identify as that in their head, you know, internally, but externally, I wouldn't want them to act upon that if it harms.
Do you think the world can actually condemn pedophilia as an abhorrent form of sexuality?
In the world today, it's becoming more and more difficult to do that because the same arguments that were used for homosexuality is now being used for pedophilia, that people are born this way and they're not born this way. This is something that's elective. God designed a man to satisfy a woman and a woman to satisfy a man. That's what God intended from the beginning. But now sex is twisted, as Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3 says, into greed. In fact, at the core of all sexual sin is covetousness or greed. And that is, what can I get out of this for myself? That is an intensely covetous view of sexuality. And God knows man's heart. When he gives into that covetousness, then he gets sucked into it more and more, where now my whole life becomes, I must gratify myself. That is a self-destructive philosophy of life.
That is so evident, isn't it? That sin is never satisfied. Did you read about the judge in New York who prayed about rendering a verdict about a young man who was 16 and 17 at the time, raping and sexually molesting young girls? He was guilty. There was no question about it. The judge prayed about it, and apparently he got a word or something, and he said, I just can't do it. I just can't send him to jail. Well, that isn't justice, but I thought a little detail inside of the story was instructive. The young man said, well, I've been addicted to porn since I was 7. Did he ever imagine that he would be raping girls when he was 17? No. But that's what sin does. It's never satisfied.
In order to understand the biblical view on gender and sexuality, we need to go back to the beginning of creation. God created everything out of nothing by merely speaking the universe into existence for his good pleasure. He created human life to take care of his creation, and he created them with two genders, a pink and a blue. In fact, God officiated the first wedding between the first pink and blue, telling them to be fruitful and multiply. And so they did. All throughout Scripture, we see five reasons for this view of gender and sexuality. 1, performance. God made two complementary genders, with different strengths and weaknesses that come together and are better as one than as two. Two, procreation. God wants pinks and blues to make more pinks and blues as his image bearers in order to bring him more glory. Three, pleasure. Sex is a gift from God for his creature's enjoyment. Four, picture. God is actually painting a theological picture by using two genders that enjoy one another intimately as a greater spiritual reality. Our union with our spouse is a foreshadowing of our non-sexual union with God. Five, praise. Because of all of these reasons, we should give God praise for designing not only our bodies, but a world to enjoy them in. That understanding literally transformed the world. And just like the characters in a video game operate best within their design, we humans operate best in our world when we follow God's divine design for human gender and sexuality.
Hey, Jimmy, before we continue listening to season two of Road Trip to Truth,
yes.
Is there any way in the future when I'm talking that we could have that dweedly dweedly music behind all the time?
Absolutely.
Terrific.
We've seen that the progressive ideas on gender and sexual orientation aren't supported by science and logic. They can even be harmful for human flourishing. But much of pop culture and secular society tell us that there is no way the Bible is right on gender and sexual orientation. It's too old and clearly on the wrong side of history. Maybe you believe that.
Do you think the Bible's on the wrong side of history?
I think the people using the Bible are on the wrong side of history, right?
That's a very controversial question.
If you say homosexuality and, you know, like those other sexual identities don't have a place, then you are on the wrong side of history.
But let's take a look at that suspicion. To help us do that, we took the most powerful common objections regarding biblical sexuality to Dr. John Street to see if he could defend the Bible and determine just who is on the right side of history. What do you say to the person who says that they just know they're in the wrong body?
The Bible also says that our hearts are very wicked and they're very sinful and they're going to lead us down the wrong direction. And so as a result of that, they've believed a false philosophy.
What about people who are intersex or hermaphrodites?
We know from a scientific standpoint, even though they may have the genitalia of two different sexes and on a chromosomal level, you can identify XY male, XX female.
Does the Bible really condemn homosexuality?
The answer is absolutely yes. In multiple places, it does.
Listing the verses.
If Jesus never mentioned homosexuality, why do Christians?
Well, this goes back to your view of the Bible. Is the Bible fully and completely inspired? Because what the Apostle Paul said, what the Apostle Peter said, what the Apostle John said is just as authoritative as what Jesus said. Even though he didn't mention that sin, his apostles do talk about that, and they're very clear about that being a sinful condition.
Do you think that God would be unloving to say that homosexuality or things like that would be punished by an eternity in hell?
If God said that, I wouldn't want to live on this earth anymore.
Mm. Isn't the Bible being a little bit harsh when it says that the punishment for homosexuality should be an eternity in hell?
Any sin, which includes the sin of homosexuality, deserves an eternal punishment because of how holy our God is. So it's not unjust and it's not harsh. That's really critical for a person who's homosexual to understand. Anyone who's a Christian understands that they are just as guilty and deserving of hell as anybody who's a homosexual. And it's only because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are not going to hell. If all the Bible did was just condemn homosexuality and didn't provide the grace of atonement for sin, then you can make that argument. But you can't make that argument because the ultimate sacrifice was made by the Lord Jesus Christ for that particular sin.
As always, Road Trip to Truth making its way to the final destination of the gospel, which is imperative in a conversation about sexuality. Jesus defined the terms for us. It wasn't just Peter and Paul. Jesus in Matthew 19, I do believe verse 4, Rexella. You've heard it said of old, male and female, he created them. He affirmed what we see in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 2, specifically the detailed account of creation, that God made two genders to glorify him, which is a truth that should be often repeated. It really does help men to think rightly, to recognize a male alone does not fully glorify God as an image bearer. It requires a female who has attributes that we tend to be a little bit short on. Jesus made it clear. Male and female created he them to leave father and mother, cleave together, procreate for the sake of making babies, for pleasure, and to paint a picture of the gospel. It's an intimate act that won't be duplicated in heaven, and most certainly not with our Savior, but it is a fuzzy picture of the joys and the delights that await us when we do arrive in heaven. Hoping you will get your copy of A Road Trip to Truth Season 2. Teach it to your youth group and adults too. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, two Florida parents have filed a federal lawsuit against their daughter's school, a middle school in Tallahassee, that allegedly has been calling the 13-year-old girl by her preferred pronouns and allowed her to use the boys' restroom. They did those things without the parents' permission, which obviously is bad enough, but what makes matters worse is they did those things against the parents' wishes. The parents informed the school about their daughter's gender confusion and their desire for their daughter to be referred to as her birth gender. But the school apparently took matters into their own hands because, you know, obviously the state knows best, not the child's parents. And the school system had to step in. They had to protect the child from her own parents who wanted their daughter treated like a girl. Such dangerous parents. Good thing we have public school systems. They know exactly what to do. Well, we told you earlier this month about a college professor who made comments that pedophiles should not be called pedophiles because that's mean. Instead, they should be called MAPS, or minor attracted people. This professor, who is transgender, said a person attracted to a minor, a pedophile, isn't being immoral as long as they don't act on their desires. I strongly disagree with that statement, and so would the Bible. And evidently, so does the professor's employer, Old Dominion University, because in a jointly released statement from the professor and the school, the professor resigned, which means there was likely a choice given, resignation or termination. Though I'd say if the school was sincerely appalled at the professor's comments, then I think termination would have sent a message to others who were trying to normalize sexually deviant behavior like pedophilia. And here's a story of told you so. The Indianapolis Public School District suspended a teacher after he publicly explained how his employer teaches CRT while simultaneously claiming that they don't. Tony Kennett's the teacher's name. He claims to have downloaded and given CRT teaching documents from the school's server and provided them to a journalist. And after Kennett posted a video stating how the district teaches CRT, he was placed on leave. Kennett said teachers are told to tell students that white men are responsible for all problems. Students are also directed to treat each other differently based on race, and they're also told that capitalism is a tool of white supremacy. This is an issue that I'm afraid is more widespread and more prevalent than most even realize. It's not going away anytime soon. Parents, take charge of your children's education and do it sooner rather than later. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey! Remember this guy?
Do you think that God would be unloving to say that homosexuality or things like that would be punished by an eternity in hell?
If God said that, I wouldn't want to live on this earth anymore.
Oofda, this is Wretched Radio. That was a young man from Road Trip to Truth Season 2, the sexuality episode, who didn't appear to be all that warm and fuzzy when it came to the subject of God judging people. This, incidentally, it ain't nothing new. Did you see the poll? 58% of Americans claim to believe in God as described in the Bible. Unfortunately, they don't know how God is actually described in the Bible. Therefore, that statistic is way too high. Most people who claim to believe in the God of the Bible believe in a distorted image. The Bible calls that an idol. They might as well be believing in a piece of wood, because if you concoct a God to suit yourself, one that is fabricated from your own fantasies, you do not know the God of the Bible. More statistics on Americans these days. A majority of Americans said they believe in God as described in the Bible. 9% say, nah, don't believe in anything. Not going to admit that there's a God. However, let's not be deceived by this statistic. 32% said they don't believe in the God of the Bible, but do believe there is some other higher power or spiritual force in the universe. Does that mean they're getting close? And the answer really is no, they're not. The Bible does not have three categories for people. You are either saved or not saved. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. You are either regenerated or you're not born again. That's it. There isn't a third class of close. He's getting there. Going to church a lot. Now, it can certainly be that God is working on the person, but until they repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ, they're no closer to God than somebody in Boingo Boingo, who is a cannibal and eats people for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They need to hear the gospel. And we can be reminded and encouraged as we listen to this gospel presentation from John Fabares in Road Trip to Truth Season 2 that God is indeed working on people, and you and I can't judge who those people are or are not. The young man who just said, I wouldn't want to live on a planet where God judges people for their sins, was introduced, or he heard again, the gospel. Listen to his response. Gobsmacked would be an understatement. He stammered, claiming this is just a lot to take in right now. Why? Because it appears that God was working on him, and that is why we need to be preaching the gospel clearly to anybody who will hear it. When you hear John giving a lengthy gospel presentation, know that he is talking directly to our young man.
What do you think is the central message of the Bible?
Unconditional love.
I do think it's very much about love, acceptance, kindness, just trying to be the best
person
that you can be.
So the central message a lot of people say is the gospel. Have you ever heard of the word gospel? Gospel, it means good news. It's the good news, and it does involve love. The book of 1 John says, this is love, that God sent his only son into the world to be a savior, or to be the propitiation, which means that he takes away sin. God sent, out of love, his son to pay and to die and to be a sacrifice for the sins that I commit and the sins that you commit. And he came to live a perfect life. He came to this earth. He lived perfectly. Well, he's perfect, never did anything wrong. We live sinful lives where we mess up every time that you've lied, sinned, stolen things, done things that were wrong, hurt people, all of that. All those things make us guilty before God. Jesus lives this perfect life so that he can swap places with us. And that's good news, because we can have our punishment taken away. But what Jesus said is only people who turn from their sin and trust in him are people who can have that sin guilt taken away and this righteous life put on them. So he calls people to not only recognize their sin, but he also calls people to turn from their sin and to believe and trust in him. We trust in him completely. We can have forgiveness, complete forgiveness for every wrong thing we've ever done. Have you ever heard that before?
I have.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, of course.
So what do you think about that?
I think it's pretty interesting. Like, it's a lot to take in right now.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's a lot to take in right now. Why? Because he doesn't yet know the God of the Bible. But he was introduced to him, and even though the conversation was about sexuality, It sure does appear that it had an impact on this young man. Now, we need to know until he repents, puts his trust in Jesus Christ, he's no closer to salvation than somebody who is on a remote island. The gospel must be proclaimed. Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't do what I've done too many times. And I've learned this lesson the hard way. I'll see somebody and go, nah, not that person. Nah, not her. No, not him. Now, that person wouldn't be open to this. Or they look a little intimidating. Ooh, dude's a biker. I don't think that I want to get involved in that. And on the occasions that I have done that and not been obedient to my feelings, they tend to be some of the best witness encounters I've ever had. Because I don't know what's going on. And neither do you. You don't know what is going on in the heart of a hearer. We need to go proclaim it indiscriminately to everybody because, and oh boy, here we go, Jimmy. People need the gospel. They don't need to be put on a naughty list.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Here we go.
Here come the emails.
Here. Let us reason together on this subject. The world is perishing. They don't know the God of the Bible. They're dying in their sins. We have the words of life. And there's an organization, well-intentioned, I'm certain of it. In fact, I know they do good work. They make a naughty list every year for those companies accused of censoring Christmas. Who made it this year? Well, Target and Walgreens did. They landed on the naughty and nice retail list of businesses that either recognize and celebrate Christmas or silence and censor Christmas. When we perhaps have forgotten that the essence of Christian has nothing to do with retail, nothing, not anything. What I'm trying to say is there isn't anything, nada, zip, zero. Christmas is to be a celebration of the greatest miracle ever when the infinite became the finite, stuffed inside of a human body, still upholding the universe by the word of his power while cooing in a cradle. That is what we celebrate, that the God who came to this earth to live among us, to die for sinners that we might be redeemed is the message of Christmas. What does it have to do with retail? And why do we insist that retailers utter something they don't believe in? Why do we want to mandate that somebody behaves nicely by saying Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays? This is like taking an oath on a Bible when people don't believe in the scriptures. This is like wanting to fly a Christian flag above a government building because everybody else gets to. No, this is our religion. This is our celebration. The world, needless to say, has jumped onto the Christmas bandwagon and so distorted it. And we, I think, don't contribute to the central message of Christianity when we go about the business, I'm sorry, but of acting like Pharisees. In that, what did they desire to do? Clean up the outside of the cup. Look the right way, but inside, what are they? You got dead man's bones. They're whitewashed tombs. And when we go about the business of forcing people who don't want to say, why do I need Starbucks to have Christmas on a mug? What do I care? It's a coffee company. What do I care? What do I care if these companies don't participate rightly? According to the list, Target is naughty because the retail corporation has surprisingly few mentions of Christmas. Though it does have references to pack your season full of Merry and offers seasonal ugly sweaters and a secret gifting room. Shame on you for not celebrating our religious holiday. I get it. I know why we don't like this, because it is yet another tangible sign that our culture is post-Christian. Merry Christmas is like gas prices. It's like the price of a loaf of bread. We all know how the economy is doing based on gas prices. We all observe it. We also know how our culture is doing based on how many retailers say Merry Christmas. I get it. But I think that's to miss the point of the season. Walgreens refers to the term holiday frequently and only one reference to the term Christmas on the website. Meanwhile, Gap, they're very naughty. No references to Christmas. But if they're willing to say Merry Christmas or Christmas cheer, then they're on the nice list. Retailers don't need to be told what to say at Christmas time. They need the gospel. I'm sorry, but I think this effort undermines that. This is Wretched Radio. And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families that Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids' club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, it seems like everywhere you look, you find a survey about something these days. And of course, Wretched, we didn't want to miss the trend, so we conducted our own survey. Actually, I just asked a couple of people across the hall, but here are those results. When asked, what's your favorite part of Christmas? 100% of respondents said, celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no reason for Christmas. Without Christ, there's no reason for Wretched. Our sole purpose for existing is to exalt and glorify Jesus Christ. And we do that by preaching the gospel, equipping the saints, and strengthening the local church. But we realize we can't do any of this without you. So during this time of year where we should reflect on the true meaning of Christmas, would you prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner and help us to continue reaching the lost all over the world with the gospel? Visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321.
And yet one more reason to consider MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. 400,000 Christian strong and growing, sharing one another's medical expenses so far to the tune of $4 billion. The average family saves $500 per month. That's a good reason to consider MediShare. There's a teledoc service. That's a good reason to consider MediShare. How's about their approval ratings are double that of traditional health insurance? But how's about this? During the month of November, initiation fee waived. One more reason for you to discover if MediShare is right for you and for your family. Simply visit MediShare.com/wretched and take 2 minutes to call 1-844-34-BIBLE to see how much your family can save. 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Permit me to utilize this time to offer a heartfelt thank you. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, thanks for having my back, man. Thanks for just jumping right in there on the naughty list business.
For sure.
having my flank to make sure that I'm not perceived as the only one who doesn't think we should be forcing businesses to say Merry Christmas. I want the holiday back.
Yes, I agree.
I've crossed the Rubicon on this. I don't want it to be a national holiday. I want it to be a Christian holiday. We'll do our own PTO. We'll make our own vacation time. We will celebrate our holiday. This perversion that is culturally known as Christmas, it ain't. It has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. And I do not understand why we feel it is a part of the Christian call to try to force retailers to say Merry Christmas when they don't want to.
Yeah.
I think we perhaps have lost our way and forgotten our mission here. Does this mean we should never speak to companies? No, we speak to every realm, including corporations. But the message should be repent and believe on the one who was born to you this day, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That is what we should be saying to corporations, not say it, say it. We will boycott you. It's just not the message of Christianity. And so, Jimmy, I'm so glad you had my back on that one. Because
you're quite welcome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you.
I'm just going to be quiet and just let the air just be dead until you jump in.
You want me to say what you just said? I completely, totally agree with you.
Okay. Therefore, send your emails to jimmy@wretched.org.
Oh, don't give my email address out. That's supposed to be private.
Not anymore.
It's getting changed.
Hi, Pat here. I'm happy to inform you that the company Christmas party will take place on December 23rd.
Wait a second. Hold on. If you've ever listened to this here Wretched radio program during Christmas, you've heard this bit. Why? Because we've played this for probably 17 years. And I would suggest to you that this was another missed sign that we have been seeing for a long time, a politically correct culture that is influenced by postmodernism, which has morphed into critical race theory. These signs, while humorous at the time, were missed.
Hi, Pat here. I'm happy to inform you that the company Christmas party will take place on December 23rd, starting at noon in the private room at the Grill House. There will be a cash bar and plenty of drinks. We'll have a small band playing traditional carols. Feel free to sing along, and don't be surprised if our CEO shows up dressed as Santa Claus. A Christmas tree will be lit at 1 p.m. Exchange of gifts among employees can be done at that time. However, no gift should be over $10 to make the giving of gifts easy for everyone's pockets. This gathering is only for employees. A special announcement will be made by our CEO at that time. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Pat here. In no way was yesterday's memo intended to exclude our Jewish employees. We recognize that Hanukkah is an important holiday, which often coincides with Christmas, though unfortunately not this year. However, from now on, we're calling it our holiday party. The same policy applies to any other employees who are not Christians or those still celebrating Reconciliation Day. There will be no Christmas tree present, no Christmas carols sung. We will have other types of music for your enjoyment. Happy now? Happy holidays to you and your family. Hi, this is Pat again. Regarding the note I received from a member of Alcoholics Anonymous requesting a non-drinking table, you didn't sign your name. I'm happy to accommodate this request, but if I put a sign on a table that reads AA only, you wouldn't be anonymous anymore. How am I supposed to handle this? Forget about the gifts exchange. No gifts exchange are allowed since the union members feel that $10 is too much money, and executives believe $10 is a little chintzy. No gifts exchange will be allowed. Hi, this is Pat. What a diverse group we are. I had no idea that December 20th begins the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which forbids eating and drinking during daylight hours. There goes the party. Seriously, we can appreciate how a luncheon at this time of year does not accommodate our Muslim employees' beliefs. Perhaps the Grill House can hold off on serving your meal until the end of the party, or else package everything for you to take home in a little foil doggy bag. Will that work? Meanwhile, I've arranged for members of Weight Watchers to sit farthest from the dessert buffet, and pregnant women will get the table closest to the restrooms. Gays are allowed to sit with each other. Lesbians do not have to sit with gay men. Each will have their own table. To the person asking permission to cross-dress, no cross-dressing allowed, though.
They dated.
We will have booster seats for short people. Low-fat food will be available for those on a diet. We cannot control the salt used in the food. We suggest for those people with high blood pressure to taste first. There will be fresh fruits as dessert for diabetics. The restaurant cannot supply no sugar desserts. Sorry, did I miss anything?
Gluten, actually. Isn't it funny? No cross-dressing. That was 17 years ago. Today, this guy would be canceled.
Canceled, that's right.
Hi, Pat here. Vegetarians. You know, I've had it with you people. We're going to keep this party at the Grill House whether you like it or not. So you can sit quietly at the table, furthest from the grill of death, as you so quaintly put it, and you'll get your stupid salad bar, including the organic tomatoes. But you know, tomatoes have feelings too. They scream when you slice them.
Uh-oh.
I've heard them scream. I'm hearing them scream right now. I hope you all have a rotten holiday. Drive drunk and die. Y'all hear me?
Hi, it's Joan Bishop, Acting Human Resources Director. I'm sure I speak for all of us in wishing Pat a speedy recovery, and I'll continue to forward your cards to him. In the meantime, management has decided to cancel our holiday party and give everyone the afternoon of the 23rd off with full pay. Happy holidays!
That's what I wish they would do, if you don't mind me saying so. We want to take back Christmas. Let's do that. Let's celebrate it as the Christ-centered holiday it was intended to be. Not this retail extravaganza. This bit reminds us that postmodernism and critical theory, it's been afoot for a long time. And now we're seeing all of its rotten fruit. 34% of white college applicants lied about race to improve chances of getting accepted. There's actually been a book written on this subject to help you as a white person pretend you're something else. The book was called, it was written by VJ, I'm sorry, sir, last name is Ingham, I-N-G-A-M, an admissions consultant at sosadmissions.com and author of Almost Black, The True Story of How I Got Into Medical School by Pretending to Be Black. He used the word black twice in one book title, but the point is he actually wrote a how-to manual. Though lying on college applications is frowned upon, universities typically do not push back on students about their race. Instead, they accept it regardless of what you look like. They have to. Because if you identify as that, then you're that. And lots of white students are feeling the need, it's a wrong urge, they're feeling the need to lie. Otherwise, they're afraid that they won't get into the university based on their skin color. Wait a second. Getting into a university based on skin color? I thought we dealt with this about 40, 50 years ago. Are we going back? Are we on the right side of history with this? Or are we,
wasn't that affirmative action?
Not a meritocracy.
Yeah.
Skin colorocracy. Survey of 1,250 white college applicants. Have you noticed how often you need to read that adjective in stories? White person, black person. We got it. We got to know skin color because that's the mantra of CRT. 1,250 college applicants 16 and older found the most popular racial claim was Native American. Out of the 34% of white college applicants who lied about their race, 77% were accepted. When the author of the book, Ingham, sorry, was faced with the prospect of getting caught in his lie, he said he knew exactly what he needed to do to shut him down. Quote, "I don't want to talk about my ethnic background because I think it's very racist for you to ask me these highly inappropriate questions." And it worked, because that's CRT right there being utilized to cheat your way into a university. How lovely is that? Another demonstration of the pervasive and pernicious worldview known as postmodernism and critical race theory. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.